at 5 to 9. At 9:01, it's clubbing time. Haven't paid for a drink since 85. That's Perrier and French white wine. When I rock the mic, you best stay home with your Fisher Price and Mr. Microphone. You're coming through mono, I'm in stereo. Boy, don't you know this a one girl show? I only rock at night. Champagne and neon lights. I'll be your new heartache until the morning breaks. I only rock at night. Champagne and neon lights. I'll be your new heartache until the morning. I only rock at night. Champagne and neon lights. I'll be your new heartache until the morning breaks. I only rock at night. Champagne and neon lights. I'll be your new heartache until the morning breaks.
Dave Davies, he kinda helped me go crazy. Well, I was just a little kid, but I was feeling what he did when he took his razor to his amplifier speaker and he got that sound that's still over my town. We'll be right back.
pocket, was she ever light it up? Hey! Even if you don't want it, things always change. Would you turn 18 or roam and at his grave? Should you ignore it, light it away? Stay in this small town because you feel so safe. Afraid.
is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you. like a disguise. It's a shame you wear the truth like a disguise. It's a shame you wear the truth like a disguise.
Welcome to WMFO Radio Boston. This is Jumbo Cast production in the morning for you all. I'm Jared Davis, joined by my great compatriots, Sam Klugers, and the other Sam, freshman Sam Brill here. How we all doing today, folks? How we doing?
Doing well. Looking for a good weekend with some Tufts sports.
That's right.
So yes. We got this weekend, we've got another football game in the mix. We've got our 1-2 Jumbos. You know, they took a big win the first week against Trinity, the reigning NESCAC champions. But both teams at this point are 1-2. We've got a new dog on top. We've got Amherst, who took down Tufts last week, Middlebury and Wesleyan. So Amherst sitting pretty at 3-0. Middlebury sitting pretty 3-0. And Wesleyan also 3-0. just underneath them, we've got Hamilton and Williams, both at 2-1, and then Trinity and Tufts, both 1-2 teams. Bates, Bowdoin, and Colby at the bottom, 0-3. So, what do we think Tufts has to do to, you know, try to pull this one out?
Yeah, they definitely need to kind of use their strengths. Their strength has been defense. Defense has been really strong. Every game we've had at home, they've been able to turn the ball over. They've been able to take care of their opportunities and get the ball back to offense. But the offense, I honestly think, needs to start be a little more aggressive on the play call. And they need to take advantage of those opportunities they get when they get the ball back on turnovers from defense. They need to be aggressive and just hit them where it hurts, you know?
Yeah, and they had a really tough showing at Williams. You know,
yeah,
they turned
definitely.
The ball over in their own area a couple times, which yeah, you know didn't
those
really give
kill
the,
you.
Yeah, you know, it didn't really give the defense a ton of room to operate. So, you know, definitely looking to make sure the offense, you know, starts to fire on all cylinders. And you know, it's tough, you know, you've got Jacob Carroll, the senior quarterback, and Trayvon Woodson, the freshman quarterback, and
yeah.
You know, it's tough.
A little mix. You got to figure out what's good.
Exactly. You know, it's tough when you're bringing guys in downs 1-2 and down
definitely.
3.
Definitely. No, 100%. I totally agree. But you have to understand that the college game is a little different. You have to look for the future. Your job security as a coach relies on how you're progressing the program. And I think the coach for Tufts is doing a great job of incorporating all the different parts in the offense and the defense, everything. They just does a good job. But, in essence, like you said, first down, second down, you have to have that the togetherness of like the camaraderie of first down, I gave you a pass and we got 2 yards. It doesn't really matter. You need to build that rapport with each other so that on third down, when it comes to 3rd and 6, you're ready to go. And that's been the problem for Tufts, third down in those clutch situations. We've been having difficulties, but I'm hoping for this weekend to kind of turn around, because we've seen a lot of a little bit of that light at the end of the tunnel for Tufts, and there's some definitely silver lining for Tufts, and I hope we can pull it off this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at the box score now, you know, you're scoring no points in the first and second quarter. You're digging yourself a big hole because Amherst put up 14 in the second, but you're coming out in the third. You know, you're putting up 3 points and then 13 in the fourth. You know, you're coming back. You're rallying. Tufts had 322 passing yards last week, so it's not the offense really in terms of yardage that's the problem. The problem is the 4 turnovers that they had, you know, 22 minutes and 44
yeah,
seconds
yeah.
with the time of possession.
I get you. 37-16
with Amherst,
yeah.
You know.
Stats are a little skewed on that one, though, last week, because
right.
when it got a little garbage time, I mean, that throw that got 80 yards.
That's
like,
fair. That's
322,
fair.
A majority of those yards were on that big pass. But
absolutely.
We don't really go through the air a ton. I mean, it's college, it's D3 football, so you have to respect that. Yeah, I mean, the stats are not going to look the same way as you're respecting through football, but speaking of pro football, what are you thinking, Sam? How's your fantasy team doing? Is it doing good?
Oh, it's in the beginning of the season, it was doing pretty well, but it's
a little injury hurt. Like you're
getting
some around?
Injuries, but the
me
past
too.
Few games.
That's fantasy football, how it goes, though.
Yeah.
Hope all you out there listening are doing well on your fantasy football teams. We don't have too much insight, but. Maybe if Wayne Gallman is still in your league, pick that guy up quick because he went off last week. Saquon, I think, is going to be back early, but honestly, hold your horses on him. I think with a high ankle sprain, you have to understand that he's not going to be his explosive self after.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got John Ross on your team, drop that guy. He's done.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the other day, I think I read somewhere that Saquon Barkley said he was going to Wakanda for his...
I feel like that's what he's doing. Because the dude got back. He's supposed to get back. Like, there's a possibility of this week. He's definitely going to be back next week, I feel like. But, like, wow, dude. Like, if I sprain my ankle, I'm out for a while. Like, I'm not trying to run and, like, cut on my ankle. That's crazy. I guess we're going to switch topics now to... from football over to a little bit of women's volleyball. We announced a little bit of women's volleyball this last weekend, and we're going to announce some more this weekend. Our women's volleyball team here at Tufts is doing a fantastic job. They're still undefeated. And if you have the chance, please come out and support. But just to get you even more enticed, we're gonna go over some stats and some of the highlights that we saw over the last few weeks.
So
they've been fantastic.
Yeah, so we've got Tufts and Amherst both at the top of the division in terms of the NESCAC, both at 3-0. You know, the 1,000 winning percentage. Williams just behind them at 2-0, but you know, one fewer win puts them slightly behind. Tufts also 12-0 and climbing in the Division 3 women's rankings. I think last week they were at like 24 or something like that. This week they're climbing. But I took a look at the rankings like a couple days ago, and I personally thought they should have been higher. You know, they took a big win last week over Johnson and Wales, and then Johnson and Wales went and lost to a Bowdoin team that Tufts beat 3-0.
And they're still above us. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But no love for Medford here. You know, we get that cold weather. We're a little outside of Boston. We gotta take our trips. We gotta take our licks when it comes, but I think it makes us tougher, and the women's team is going to take that spirit and continuing to just, you know, 10-foot line the rest of the crowd and just spike it, just like really take them, because every time I go to the volleyball game, the energy is so high. You can see the girls are so stoked. Mm-hmm. It's a great vibe. If you ever have the chance, please come. It's so fun. And like, congrats, girls. You guys are killing it. Just keep it up. It's so great.
Yeah, a team that's been absolutely dominating. Senior captain Bridget Bell, just, you know, killing the game. She was the week 2 NESCAC player of the week.
Oh yeah.
Maddie so Stewart, good. Another senior captain, week 1 NESCAC player of the week.
Yeah.
And
roster's stacked.
Roster's absolutely stacked. Kay Dessler, the 2018 Rookie of the Year, not flirting with the sophomore slump at all.
No, definitely not. Yeah, Kay Dessler's actually in one of my classes, and I spoke to her, and she's very excited about this season. Bridget Bell is also one of the members of our Jumbo Cast, our group, and she really takes on the role of that, like, kind of that the person that fills in any gap that needs. If you saw the game against Maritime, I announced the game against Maine Maritime, and she started off being more involved for hitting possibly, but then she realized that the team was lacking in the digs and the passing, so she went to the right area to pass and make those digs, and she was just made the team cohesive, and it started to click immediately. We were down in that first set, but then 3-0, we won because Bridget went to the right place. I don't know if it was a coaching decision or anything, but that senior experience is something that you can't replace, and it's great to see in our volleyball team this year.
Absolutely. I think that she's really one of the things that you can look to as the definition of a team player.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
All over the floor, trying to lead when she can, but, you know, taking a back seat when she needs to. She actually got the NESCAC profile this week, as they do a little week recap. You know, they give a little bit of a player description, and it reads here, senior Bridget Bell from Granite Bay, California, helped the Jumbos win 3 matches and did not drop a set. 3-0 win over Bowdoin, 11 kills, 6 digs, and 2 aces, with 6 kills, 10 digs, and a block in the 3-0 win over Maine Maritime. 10 kills, 12 digs, 2 blocks to help the Jumbos down Johnson and Wales.
So versatile. She does everything.
And a 345 hitting percentage, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, it's incredible. Unheard of for how many digs she gets, too. It's just, like, crazy. And then another little touch on our freshmen, too. We have some great freshman talent here. Legree, Lightfoot, those two hitters are just amazing. And great talent.
Yeah, and Stephanie Lee, the freshman libero, she's been all over.
Oh, my goodness.
She's killing it.
If you don't talk about her as a freshman, like, you are not watching any volleyball, because Stephanie Lee has really put the team together. She gets everything. She has this calm demeanor, but the second the game starts, she's ready to go, and she's grabbing everything. If it's not going to hit the floor with Stephanie Lee, honestly.
She's everywhere.
Yeah, she's got it. Alrighty, so that was a glorious little recap of little women's volleyball, if you're not up to date. But you definitely should be, because Tough Sports are killing it with the women's volleyball. We're gonna transition now to maybe a little bit
let's say men's soccer.
Men's soccer. We have a little preview of men's soccer. We have a Saturday game we're announcing at 2:30. Myself will be announcing the play-by-play, joined by Max Goldfarb on the color. And if you don't watch it, then you're a square. But it should be good. It should be good. I believe we are playing... I've forgotten, actually. I was going to say Bates, but I don't think we're playing Bates. I believe we are playing...
Not Babson. Trinity.
Trinity. We're Trinity. Playing Trinity this week in 2:30 at the field.
At over Bello.
Bello. That's what we... Is it? No, we don't play at Bello.
We don't play at Bello anymore?
The men's play at Bello?
I think the men's play at Bello.
Do they? I thought the men's play over past the Ellis Oval.
I think Sam is correct.
He's correct at Ellis Oval. I've not frequented many men's soccer games this year, so I may stand corrected, but it is what it is. But men's soccer doing pretty well this year. Actually met a few guys actually last night. They're talking about how they're really excited about this matchup, and the weather's getting cold, so they really gotta take care of themselves and get ready for a big game against Trinity.
Yeah, you know, they came out and tied Wesleyan this week. They scored a goal in the first, Wesleyan coming back and scoring a goal in the second. But it's a team that's really been firing on all cylinders, you know. Getting out there, they're 7-0-1, a 3-0-1 record in the NESCAC. This is a team that usually just runs it. They just come out, they win.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit surprised there with the 1-1 draw. But, you know, they're still sitting pretty at the top of the NESCAC. Amherst 3-0-2. Connecticut College 3-1-2. Tufts 3-0-1 in conference play. So Amherst has, like, I don't know if we're going to use a baseball term here, but like a half a game lead since they played one more game than Tufts. But, you know, they've got an opportunity to regain the lead in the NESCAC this weekend.
Yeah, against Trinity. That's big. It's definitely big. And we have that pedigree of national champions, D3 champions. So a lot of weight on their shoulders. And we'll see how they respond to that weight now that the weather's getting cold, now that the time of the year is getting more serious. So hope that Tufts men's team can really shine through and get a win here Saturday at 2:30. Join us. Love to see you there. Get that support for our Tufts Jumbos.
And we'll see what they can really do against this Trinity team. They, you know, Trinity hasn't played great really at all this season. They're 0-4 in the NESCAC and 1-7 overall. So this is a Tufts team that should be able to park the bus pretty well after scoring a quick goal. We'll see what their game plan is going in.
I hope they don't park the bus, because I love to see some free soccer, but I totally understand the strategy of making sure no one gets by your solid line of two lines of five, which does well, or even two lines of six, if you decide, not six, 12 is too many people, but, you know, a five and a five and a goalie. But, I totally understand that's the way to play. I just love to see the beautiful game in action, and hopefully we get to see some goals on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, what are you looking forward to, Sam, this weekend? What are you looking forward to?
This weekend?
Yeah. You're a field hockey fan, a little bit volleyball.
I'd say volleyball.
Soccer, you like the volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, after sticking around last weekend, hanging out at the, sorry.
No, it's chill, volleyball.
Volleyball, yeah. yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that because, I just saw, it was just thrilling to watch last weekend. Yeah,
I totally agree. Have you announced any volleyball games?
I haven't announced, but,
You're the cameraman. You love the camera.
Yeah, and I'm looking
Mr.
to,
Sammy K with the camera.
Yeah, I'm looking to go behind the computer this year, too.
Nice,
get some
nice.
Director training.
Sammy K with the director training. So I think we're going to play a quick song, and...
Sure, yeah.
We will be back briefly with a little more recap of some more tough sports, and maybe a little preview of, the basketball season, MLB playoffs, and thanks for joining. This is WMFO Boston.
Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
welcome back. You're here with the JumboCast Radio, Sam Brill, Jared Davis, and Sammy Klugers.
That's right.
Oh. And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And we are back here with some playoff baseball recaps. Last night we had a lot of good baseball, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Cardinals coming out of nowhere in the eighth inning, putting up six across the eighth and the ninth.
Oh yeah.
Beating the Braves, of course. I'm a Mets fan, so I'm loving that.
Definitely.
And then the Dodgers coming out.
Oh, okay.
Beating that 6-0. I'm sure you've got something to say about that.
Yeah, you know, being from LA, I was hyped. I was tuned in to every pitch besides the first inning. I got there a little bit late. Sorry, folks. But, no, yeah, I'm super stoked about both occurrences. I've been pulling for the Cardinals to kind of win over the Braves. Just a little bit of upset. I don't really like the Cardinals in the playoffs. They're dangerous, as we saw last night. They have that mojo going. St. Louis just does so well when it comes to playoffs. They all show out. They got that gateway arch in the background. I don't know. There's some magic going on there. But, yeah, we had a great night. St. Louis just able to come back. They have that winning spirit. Dodgers, great performance from Buehler. The offense really wasn't there. I don't want to hate on him, but Howie Kendrick, excuse me, what'd you do last night? Because you made three errors at first base. I know it's not his natural position, but... if I'm from the Nationals' perspective, he kind of lost them the game. It was early. Corbin wasn't great. He walked a few, but he started to kind of pick it up together. He held water for a while. And then just we started getting hits. We got free hits from Howie Kendrick. We'd pull it. It'd go Howie Kendrick's way, and he just let it through. And the game just opened up for us that way. So it's kind of interesting because defense isn't super important in baseball nowadays. I mean, it's not super focused on it. Of course, it's important. But now you see in the playoffs how important defense really is. Kendrick is a great hitter, but just not a natural first baseman. And I would say it lost them the game last night. Eventually, Will Smith gets his first home run in the playoffs. That's huge.
Gavin Lux
had a great game. Yeah, was it Gavin Lux or Will Smith? But
I think it was Lux.
It was Lux. Yeah. It was Lux. You're right. It was Lux. You're quite right. It was not Will Smith. Lux hits a home run, and then Turner goes to the roaring track. It was an exciting eighth, ninth inning. But yeah, great night of baseball. Now we got the AL tonight. So, you know, well, it's what do you guys think about the two matchups tonight?
I think the Yankees and Twins are going to be a closer game than people think. This is a Yankees team that just destroyed the regular season. You know,
of course, yeah.
Killing it in April with half the team on the DL. In June, you know, you get a couple guys back and you're still firing on all cylinders. 106 wins for the Yankees this season. Whatever it was, they were incredible.
They were quite great in the regular season. Personally, you know, that LA bias, I think they're going to have a little hiccups in the playoffs after just killing in the regular season. But you never know. This could be their year. They've had a drought for the Yankees. The Yankees are, you know, the blue blood of the MLB, and they really haven't been in the World Series. They haven't been in the Championship Series. And all signs say this is their year. They have the talent, and I don't see why they're not going to make it the World Series. But hold your horses, the Twins, you know, that they gone on the radar all freaking season. They are amazing. Great pitching. Bieber, Berrios, all of them are just killer. And they hit for days. And I think maybe the difference is really going to be that postseason vibe. The difference between Yankee Stadium and the Twins ballpark might be that difference, home field advantage, because I've never been to the Twins stadium, but with that dome and the little different vibe up in the cold weather, it's gonna be an interesting vibe.
Yeah, I think that the Twins are definitely an underrated team that's been on our radar the whole season. You know, you've got Eddie Rosario in left field, Max Kepler in center field, Miguel Sano at third base. You know, he's had his ups and downs these past couple of years. Jorge Polanco coming
baby.
Out of nowhere.
Polanco killed it. Saved my fantasy team, man. That guy was killer.
And another guy that's coming out of nowhere. You've got Mitch Garver behind the dish. You know, where's that power coming from? Juice ball, maybe? I don't know.
Definite juice ball.
And Nelson Cruz, who's still hitting dingers. He's like, what, 38 years old?
I mean,
some people say it's his last rodeo.
P-E-D, you know what I mean?
Really?
The three letters.
I don't know.
P-E-D, Nelson Cruz, great player, but after the little scandals, I don't know if I can completely just buy in. I'm super stoked that the Twins are great. But it's an interesting look. I'm excited for it. And on the other side, we saw the Rays take care of the A's pretty handily. Manea was unable to take care of those Rays, and Morton looked good. Now they're going to take on the Astros, and everybody believes the Astros. They got the goods. But I don't sleep on the Rays.
Yeah, I don't buy the Astros just walking over this Rays team. You know, it's a scrappy team that's played good baseball all season. You know, you've got Tyler Glasnow on the bump tonight, facing off against Verlander for the Astros. You know, the Astros are built for playoff baseball. It's a tough team to get by.
Oh,
you know?
Very tough.
The Yankees facing the Astros potentially. I mean, this is a little presumptuous, but Yanks Astros in the in the ALCS, possibly, you know, it's gonna be tough. You know, that might be the World Series right there.
Yeah,
I mean the Dodgers are also built for playoff baseball. You know, you've got three studly teams.
Oh, definitely.
It's gonna be a pretty fun October.
Oh, for sure. I was looking at rankings, and surprisingly, they put the Twins above my Dodgers, which I don't believe. Like, our roster is stacked. I don't know how you're gonna say the Twins. I mean, but the Twins roster is also stacked. That's a big matchup to look for. The Twins and those Yanks. Cause, man, most people don't know about the Twins, but the Twins, they are gonna be good. We're looking forward to some good baseball tonight.
It is October. So anything can happen, you know.
Yeah.
You go back to 2015, you know, you're seeing the Mets in the World Series. They had absolutely no business being there.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen.
Right.
It's October baseball. You know, you look at any year, really, you see teams that make it farther than they should have ever gone. Teams get knocked out maybe when they shouldn't have. But, you know, regular season's over. It doesn't matter how many wins you pick up.
No.
The first couple of months. Yeah. It's October. It's time to shine.
And speaking of October, maybe it's time to make a little Jumbo Cast predictions. Who we got in the World Series, Sam?
Who we got?
Yeah.
I think the Yankees.
The Yankees from the AL. Who you got from the NL? Going for a little capitalist action from my city to keep the action going. He's gonna get a LA NY action.
LA New York. I think that would be
fantastic for baseball in general. You know, you see the tick in fans because of just the slow game and trying to speed it up. But LA NY would definitely speed it up. And just you saw even in hockey when the Kings made it against the Rangers, that like really helped the sport. So I think this could be a big year. I don't know if you have any of that conspiracy theory, but all signs are looking towards that way. Everybody's already been talking about it. What about you, Sam? What do you think?
I think the AL's a little trickier than the NL.
It's tricky. Because
you got a lot of really strong teams between the Twins, Astros, Yankees, and Tampa Bay. I think any of those teams can take on any NL team in the playoffs right now.
I don't know about Tampa Bay.
Of course, you're
Dodgers. Dodgers
going to
whoop on Tampa Bay if they come through.
All right. I think Tampa Bay is one of those teams that you can't really count out just yet. I don't have them in the World Series, but I think they're going to take Houston to Game 5, which is going to really shock the baseball world, of course.
I agree.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think Greinke is not going to live up to the moment. Just, you know, he was a Dodger. He left. I'm going to hate, but, like,
that's fair.
He's a great pitcher. Love the guy. He's got the talent, but you make that big trade, it's just a little bit more weight on his shoulders. Hey, we brought you here to do this, and is he going to do it? We'll see, but Verlander, I expect Verlander to take care of business tonight.
I think if Gerrit Cole throws two scoreless starts, two six-inning scoreless starts, he's going to get a mega contract.
Oh, definitely.
He's a young stud pitcher who's just dominated. What was it, 326 strikeouts in the regular season?
That's crazy.
Incredible.
That's so crazy. He's so good.
I think the dude deserves the AL Cy Young. So we'll see. We'll see what he can do with that. Definitely going to command big money. But as for my prediction for the World Series, I have your Dodgers in there from the NL.
Thank you.
I just think they're gonna walk over Washington.
Yeah. And you got Braves, you get the Braves or the Cardinals.
I mean, I'm gonna root for the Cardinals.
I'm worried about those Cardinals.
They're another dangerous team.
They are dangerous.
Jack Flaherty's been
From LA as well.
He's been
I believe we played
Cards.
A little bit of Little League together. He was,
really?
Yeah, he was with me in that Little League. So seeing him in the major leagues is kind of crazy. But yeah, I'm worried about them Cardinals, because like I said, that vibe there and everything, and we don't have the mojo. Those Dodgers don't have the mojo against the Cardinals. But for me, I'm taking my Dodgers, of course, on the NL. I actually have the Twins beating the Yanks, I believe. Maybe. I don't know. I did a little bit of bracket action, but I have the Twins doing some action. But yeah, I think, Sam, you're right. Dodgers-Yanks is probably how it's looking out. Astros, though, I just think they're going to choke. It's all set up for them to win, but... it's too obvious. They're going to choke.
I think it's important that that's a team that doesn't get complacent, you know, led by Springer, Altuve, Bregman. It's a team with the pedigree that's been there before.
Yeah.
I think they have all the tools to do it again. But it's October. Anything can happen.
Definitely. You're quite right. And I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a good night. It's gonna be a good October.
Game one tonight's gonna be wild.
Oh, it's gonna be so
wild. Both AL series.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be a little tighter, but not tighter than the St. Louis Atlanta game. That was amazing. You know,
I think we're gonna see a lot of the long ball.
A lot of long ball.
I don't know. I don't think that in the Yankee series, you know, you've got Paxton going up against my guy Jose Berríos.
So that guy's good. That guy's killer.
The Yankees have been pretty good against Twins pitching this year, so I don't know. I'm predicting a lot of long balls.
But as you've seen, if you've been watching some baseball, playoff baseball is a different animal.
The
pitchers
absolutely.
Look differently. They have different pitch selection.
Without question.
They do different things. The hitters do different things. And we're just going to do different things because it's almost our time to get out of here. But thank you so much for listening to our... production of JumboCast Radio. We will be back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
Yeah. Again, Friday morning at 10. Please tune in, because we're doing it right here. We're covering all the angles. We're taking care of your Tufts needs, your professional sports needs, and any other thing you need, just call in. We'll take care of you. It's been a pleasure having you guys with us. Mm-hmm. I'm Jared Davis, joined by the two Sams here today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to send you out on a beautiful song here today. Yep. And thank you so much for joining.
All right.